Hello, let me introduce myself. My name is Pierre. I was the pastor of Mountain Reformed Baptist Church in Crestline from January 2014 to the beginning of June 2014. So I was there for a few months as the interim pastor, and during that time I took care of the church. I preached sermons, I gave lessons, and I counseled people. And I got to know the people of Crestline through my interactions with the people in person, on the streets, at the store, over the phone, at the church, and I even met some of you at your homes. And in fact, I would go and I would knock on people's doors, and I would go with a man named Steve, and we would often find people at their home, and we would get to know them. And through all of these experiences, I got to know the people of Crestline. Now, the reason I mentioned this is because I want you to know that even though I was in Crestline for only a short time, I got to know the people pretty well. You see, I met hundreds of people. I probed into your lives a little bit, and some of you even opened up a little bit more and gave me some insight into who the people of Crestline are. Now, I noticed something really interesting. The more people I met, the more I realized that there are certain issues that are very common to the people of Crestline. I noticed that there's a pattern. The same issues, they kept coming up, similar struggles, similar issues. And I thought to myself, as I'm about to leave, I need to leave a message to these people. And I believe that God has a message for the people of Crestline, and I'd like you to listen to it. I want you to pay careful attention to what I'm about to say, because this may be the solution to your problems. I want to mention five things that I've seen over and over again in Crestline. Now, the first thing that I've noticed is that there are a lot of people who suffer from mental illness. Some of it is due to chemical imbalance. Some of it is just genetic. Sometimes it's drug-induced, and people whose minds have been messed up because of drugs like meth. But regardless of what's causing this, the fact remains that I've seen a lot of people who suffer from mental illnesses. Now, here's the question. Does Jesus Christ offer any hope to those with mental illnesses? Well, I would say yes. Jesus Christ offers hope to those people. You see, there are many ways in which the Lord offers hope to those in mental illnesses. The most obvious is the fact that Jesus Christ offers to redeem you out of this world that has been cursed by sin. The reason people have mental illnesses is because this world is cursed. This world is fallen. Things are breaking down, including your minds. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, He promises that He will renew everything in this world. He will recreate a world where there's no sin, where there's no disease, no problems with your body, with your soul, or with your mind. You see, the ultimate hope is that we will be resurrected if we believe in Jesus Christ, so that we will live in this new world that God is recreating in perfect harmony and fellowship with God Himself. That's the ultimate hope. However, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you also have a foretaste of those blessings, a foretaste of this hope. It's because you're already united to Christ if you belong to Him. And the amazing thing is that sin has already been defeated at the cross. And when Jesus Christ comes into your life, He breaks the power of sin so that you don't have to be a slave to it anymore. Now, you still have to struggle with this world that's passing away. You still have to deal with things like mental illnesses. But here's what I want you to understand. Even your mental illnesses, it doesn't have to control your life. By the power of Jesus Christ, you can put the mental illness under control. You can control your behavior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can control your reaction in your mind, in your body, and even in your soul. You can overcome through Christ and His power. Listen to this passage from the Bible. It comes from Romans chapter 6. It says, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Amen to that. You see, if you want to know more about this, I want you to go to Mountain Reformed Baptist Church, and you can ask them to give you the recording entitled, How to Deal with Mental Illness. And I'm sure that you're going to be blessed when you listen to this recording. Now, the second thing I want to mention is related to the first one. It's drug addiction. Now, I've noticed that there are a lot of people in Crestline who are hooked on drugs. I've seen many people who are hooked on meth. I've seen others who are hooked on marijuana. And similarly, I've seen many people who take way too much alcohol, who take pills and anything that's going to give them a high. And like I said, some people have messed up their minds because of drugs. Some people suffer even from mental illnesses because they took drugs. Some people have messed up their bodies and their teeth because of drugs. Now, the problem with drugs is not just that you're killing your body. It's also that you're killing your mind and you're killing your soul. You see, if you don't have self-control because you're drunk or because you're high, how on earth are you going to defeat the enemy of your soul? How on earth are you going to have victory over sin? Listen to this passage from the Bible. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, be sober-minded. Listen to this. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the whole world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Did you hear that? You are to be sober-minded and watchful because you need to resist the temptations of the devil. If you don't, he will destroy you. Not just your body and your mind, but also your soul. However, if you resist the devil, if you commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, he promises that he will take you into eternal glory. Now, believe me, your self-control will be richly rewarded. So I want you to understand, you need to make sure that you pursue the Lord. Don't let drugs kill you. Now, the third thing that I've noticed is that many people in Crestline are unemployed. Now, this can be really dangerous because if you're not busy working hard, you're much more likely to get into trouble. If you don't make good use of your time, you're probably going to make bad use of your time. And if you're not busy with good works, you're probably going to be busy with bad things. I want you to listen to this passage from the Bible. It comes from the book of Titus, chapter 3. It says, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Now, here's what I would say to the people of Crestline. You can ask yourself, what can I do to serve God in my life? What can I do to serve others for the glory of God? What can I do to make my life count, that my life would be worth living? You see, you want to be about good works. And if you're willing, you can fill your life with service to God. You can fill your life with service in the church, service in the community, with hard work. And you won't, if you work hard like this, you won't have much time to fall into sin. You won't have much time to get into drugs or other bad things like that. All right, let's go to the fourth thing. The fourth thing I want to mention is that there are many people who claim to be believers but are not going to church. And I want to ask you this question, if this is who you are. I want to ask, who is your pastor? Now, you may wonder why I'm asking this question. You say, well, why do you ask who is my pastor? Well, the reason I'm asking you is because God is the one who has designed the whole thing. God is the one who has designed the church to be taken care of by pastors. In fact, I want you to listen to a passage from the Bible. It comes from Ephesians chapter 4. It says, and he, meaning the Lord, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, did you get that? Huh. The Lord is the one who gave us pastors. And the reason he gave us pastors is to take care of the body of Christ, meaning believers. Now, here's the question. Are you wiser than God? Do you think that you can take care of your own soul by yourself, even though God says that pastors should take care of your soul? Believe me, it's for your own good. Go to church. Now, go to a good evangelical church. Yeah, I said evangelical, because if the church is not evangelical, really, I don't think you should trust it. You want a church that holds to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, the last thing I want to mention is that I've seen many people in Crestline who think that they will get into heaven because they're good people, because they have lived good lives. Now, here's the problem. The truth is that you have not lived a good life. Now, how do I know this, even though I don't know you? Well, it's because I know what the Bible says about human beings. I know I've seen this pattern over and over again, and not one single human being escapes from that. I know that every single human being has not lived a good life, because we have all sinned against God in our heart, in our mind, in our actions, and in our words. And in fact, every single day, we have sinned against God. For example, we have coveted things instead of just being content with what God has given to us. Now, that's the 10th commandment. It says, you shall not covet. That includes small things. That includes coveting a better life. That includes coveting a better family. That includes coveting a better job or a better house, whatever it is. And you only need to break God's law once, to be guilty. How much more guilty are you when you sin every single day? Whenever you have lustful desires in your heart for someone who's not your spouse, you're breaking the 7th commandment, which says you shall not commit adultery. Now, that's what Jesus said. Jesus also said that when you have anger in your heart against someone, you're breaking the 6th commandment, which says, you shall not murder. So how many times have you been guilty of breaking God's law? What do you think Jesus was teaching us? Now, obviously, he wanted us to know that we are not good people. Can you confess that? I'm a sinner. I'm not a good person. I don't deserve to go into heaven. The fact is that we cannot earn our way into heaven. Instead, we must humble ourselves before God, and we must say we deserve to go to hell because we are guilty. We are criminals, rebels. And when you do that, when you stop trusting in yourself, when you stop believing in your own righteousness, it will force you to recognize what Jesus has done at the cross, how he went to the cross to take away your sins. He went to the cross to pay the price for your salvation. In fact, this was to fulfill the requirements of the law that you have broken, to manifest the righteousness of God through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you trust in him for your salvation, you will receive the perfect righteousness of God through faith in Christ. That righteousness that you do not have, he will give it to you. Jesus did it for you. He was righteous for you. He gave his life to pay for your life to set you free. Believe in him. And if you recognize how much He has done for you, then show your gratitude by listening to Him and following Him. So here it is. Christ is the answer to all of those issues. That's my message to the people of Crestline. There is hope for you. There's hope whether you suffer from mental illness, drug addiction, or you simply make bad use of your time and your life. Christ offers hope to those who are wandering away from the church, from God. And He calls those who are self-righteous to stop trusting in yourselves and to trust in Him alone. And I want to urge you not to let that pattern of destruction take over your life. You don't have to be a victim of this sin-cursed world. You don't have to be a victim of the destruction that's all around you and the destruction that's in your own heart and in your own life. Instead, I want you to know you can turn to Christ. And if you do, you can let Him do this to restore everything. Let Him renew your mind. Let Him restore you into fellowship with God. Let Him give you life, not just life in this world, but eternal life. And let Him make you fruitful of good works for the glory of God. That's my message. That is really God's message to the people of Crestline. May God bless you richly.